Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar. Charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the Golden Knights win. Big win over the weekend for Vegas over Detroit. A 5-3 final for the Golden Knights. Quite a bit of adversity in that game for Vegas. Yes, they were able to get back in the win column. Their first win in over a month at home. Yes, it was snapping a four-game skid for the Golden Knights. But there's a win that you can get to just kind of feel good about yourself. There's another win entirely in which you can look at this and say, this is something to build on. I look at the game over the weekend against Detroit as a win that you can build on, and I'll kind of throw my case for why that is over the course of the next 2 hours or so. We've also got Tomáš Hertl from Nighttime at Noon. That interview coming up a little bit later on here on the VGK Insider Show. You'll also hear from Darren Millard on that one. Chris Chapman cut it up. He's all ready to go. So Millard will be on the program today, just not maybe in the way that a lot of people expected he would be. And then we're going to get into one-timers in hour number two, and I cannot wait to sink my teeth into two things and two things only. There'll be more, I promise you, but I'm going to get fired up about Paul Bissonnette, Ryan Whitney, spitting chiclets, and kind of the insinuation that they've thrown out over the last 72 hours about the Vegas Golden Knights, LTIR, and Mark Stone. I also want to get into John Tortorella. That's going to be fun. Because, Chapman, I don't know about you. I don't know why Torts was thrown out of the game. And I think that's part of the issue. That's part of the problem. So we'll get to all that in one-timers, hour number two of the VGK Insider Show. We'll also provide an update on the—
Thanks for asking, though.
On the Michael E. Minden Hockey Parlay Contest. But right now, as we do every single week, first segment belongs to you. 702-876-1340 is the number. It's also the text line. Think of this as a mailbag of sorts. This is your opportunity to ask us any questions that you might have. Anything that you want to talk about surrounding the Vegas Golden Knights, now's the time to do it. Yes, you have opportunities after a game, but we usually keep things only on the game. We don't get to open it up broader spectrum. This is coming after a week in which Kelly McCrimmon added Anthony Manta, Noah Hanifin, and Tomáš Hertl to this roster. I'm expecting full lines. Get going now. Pick up the phone, 702-876-1340. That's the number. Give us a call to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. Talk about a victory over the Detroit Red Wings. And the big question I have for you, and I guess maybe I'll throw this one out there. You can text in or you can call in. There's 18 games left in the regular season. I think a lot of us entered the year expecting that the Golden Knights would be challenging for a Stanley Cup again. I think a lot of us entering the year after an 11-0-1 start looked at the Golden Knights and said, this team is on a crash course to repeating as Stanley Cup champions. What do you need to see in the final 18 games for that belief that you had to be rekindled? What do you need to see from the Golden Knights over the final 18 games for you to believe wholeheartedly that they are a team that can repeat in this league? It's one of the hardest things to do. Go back-to-back in the National Hockey League. But the question that I have, I'm going to throw it out there, 702-876-1340, that's the number. What do you need to see in the final 18 games from the Golden Knights to believe that they are going to go back-to-back? Let's open it up with Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I need to see more neutral zone play. Harder, faster, tougher.
in every way. It has to start right there in the neutral zone. I'm glad you brought it up.
Hold on. What are you looking for specifically there?
Well, I'm looking for the kind of play that got control of the puck and moved it into the offensive zone quicker. And I'm not seeing it.
I haven't seen it for two weeks. You're looking for more transition.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the better word. And you can expound on that, and others can do the same. But that's really where it has to change quickly for the Knights to prevail or get back to where they were, I think. Obviously, Tomas Hertl will play a part in that, let's say in April, I hope. And I don't know where the puzzle pieces fit, because there's so many puzzle pieces now that it just boggles my mind. And I can't wait for your Bissonnette comments, because that'll be interesting to hear as well. Will that come in the 5:30 hour?
Yeah, that'll be in one-timers.
Okay, good. I watched Red Wings practice today, and for about 40 minutes, 30 minutes, and it made me realize what a great coach that we have in Bruce Cassidy. Not that there's anything wrong with any other coach in the NHL. I wouldn't even begin to imply such a thing. But in watching the Red Wings practice and getting there early enough to see it, and for some reason they stayed in town and practiced in Rink B this morning, the way they practiced was 5-on-5. Just hit the ball, hit the puck, hit it against the boards, go after it, chase after each other, check each other against the boards, and I didn't see any variation. Mm-hmm. So we have a great coach who mixes things up in practice. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bruce Cassidy's kind of proven, right, time and again, that he is one of the best, if not the best, coach in the National Hockey League. I didn't see the Red Wings practice, so I can't really comment on that. But when you look at the Golden Knights and how they practice, some of the things that they do, you know, there's certainly things, Mike, and thanks for the call, that you'll do inside of a practice to try to work on certain aspects of the game. And then there's things that you do to have fun. And the small area 2-versus-2 game for the Golden Knights, that's fun. Chapman, remind me a little bit later on to tell you what the Golden Knights did in that small area 2-versus-2 game. It was beautiful. Amazing. I loved every minute of it. Okay, 702-876-1340 is the number. Yes, Bruce Cassidy is a very good coach. Thanks, Mike, for that call. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
Good.
I would like to actually agree with Mike. The transition game just doesn't seem to be clicking. And I'm asking, is it because of so many missing pieces from the, you know, the team, mm-hmm. or is it because other teams are, you know, getting our system? Because at one point that they were just like, we would watch, my wife and I would watch other games. She's not a hockey fan, just, you know, recently. And I would say, look how hard it is for that team to get out of their zone and the Knights make it look effortless.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's a combination of, you know, the players that you've been missing. It's a combination of, you know, not having your center depth the way that you'd like it to. The Golden Knights on Saturday had Jack Eichel, Chandler Stephenson, William Karlsson, and Nick Waugh as their four centers down the middle. And when your center icemen are in the spots they're supposed to be, it makes transitioning out of your own zone a little bit easier. And then you're integrating Noah Hanifin. You get Shea Theodore back in the fold. Those two guys alone can really spring transition offense and an ability to get through the neutral zone easier. So you saw it on Jonathan Marchessault's first goal of the game, right? It was a play where Noah Hanifin steps up at his blue line. He deflects a zone entry yep. for Detroit, and it's transition offense the other way. I think you're going to see more of that as the Golden Knights got healthier, as they bring in Hanifin, and as they can kind of slot their centers in the way that they like them to.
Absolutely. I said, look at that play. The guy that just picked up me, mm-hmm. Hanifin. I said, that was fantastic. Because they were dry. I mean, Detroit had numbers if he didn't poke that out
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah. And no, it was huge play. Huge play in the context of that game.
Yes, sir. Love the show, guys. Thanks for the calls.
Yep. So thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Ron. Hey, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
I just want to make a comment on how well they played Saturday night, especially Jack Eichel. I thought he looked his best game since he returned, and being with Johnny and Barbie on that first shift, I mean, not the first shift, the first line, mm-hmm. I thought they looked real, real good.
Yeah, I think it was absolutely Jack's best game since returning from his injury. He was absolutely flying and making the right decisions, right? Like, part of that is timing. When you're out of the lineup for as long as Jack Eichel was, you know, maybe you don't have the timing the way that you'd like it. Maybe you're trying to find or force certain plays. I don't think Jack forced anything in that game. And when he's playing like that, it opens up so much for everyone else around him.
And even though we didn't score on our first power play, I thought that was one of our best power plays we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I'll do you one better. I thought both power plays were good. Right?
Yeah, like I thought they played a great game. That's all I wanted to say. I think having Jack back and getting his senses and touches back and his feel for it, I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ron. Thanks so much for the call. I couldn't agree with you more, honestly. You know, as Jack Eichel goes, so do the Golden Knights, and as Jack's kind of getting himself back into a natural rhythm, I think the offense for the Golden Knights is going to be, I don't want to say easier, but it's going to feel easier in some regards. So many times over, you know, maybe the last 10 or 12 games for the Golden Knights offense, they've had it, but it's felt like they've had to work so hard just to get opportunities or to get those opportunities to fall for them. Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault, so Ivan Barbashev, it's almost like a cheat code at times because they're so in sync. And I think Saturday night was kind of the beginning of seeing that again. 702-876-1340. What do you need to see over the final 18 games to kind of reaffirm your belief that the Golden Knights are going to repeat as Stanley Cup champions? We have lines open. If you call right now, I'm putting you on the air. That's the deal. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm fantastic.
So I think I've said this before. I really just want to see the defensive kind of whole system just get more comfortable again. Mm-hmm. Because if this team is able to limit the number of shots and the number of goals the other team can get, we have the scoring to be able to make up for it. It's just been like a really hard couple of weeks for the whole defensive effort. And I just hope that bringing in the new guys and everybody getting used to being together is going to help out.
Have you seen progress in how they've defended the last couple of games?
I think so, yeah. When we're not tripping over each other. Mm-hmm. I think that you're seeing that increase, not increase, sorry, seeing them working together and getting more comfortable again, which, I mean, it's to kind of be expected after having so many of our defensemen in and out of the lineup for months, it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, continuity is a big part of that, and thanks, Stephanie, for the call. You know, it's no secret that this team is built on their defense. They're built on goaltending. They're built on rolling out six defensemen that they trust and they know are going to be able to take care of their own zone. And, you know, to a point, at some point, you've got to find that combination that you can grow with. Bringing Noah Hanifin in certainly helps the Vegas Golden Knights in that regard. I think the world of Noah Hanifin. You can see the talent that he has. 2 points on Saturday, and he's just getting started. But more than anything, like from a defending aspect, I think he can defend really well. He can break pucks out of his own zone. The less opportunity you spend in your own zone, the less opportunity there is for the opposition to score. And I think Noah Hanifin's going to help their transition game. And when he does and how he does is really going to allow the Golden Knights to get to that transition in the neutral zone, get to their forecheck a lot better, a lot more consistently. And I think it's just going to help them kind of put everything in place, really. So we'll see how things progress for the Golden Knights. That's the big question here starting off the show. 18 games left for Vegas. I want to know, for you, a fan of this team, riding high off of a Stanley Cup championship, going into this season, seeing the Golden Knights rattle off an 11-0-1 record through 12 games. At that point in time, it seemed unfathomable that the Golden Knights wouldn't be considered a favorite to win back-to-back championships. What do you need to see in the final 18 games to get yourself to believe that that's who they are? There's some things I saw on Saturday that lead me to believe they're going to do it. But I want to hear from you, 702-876-1340. All right, let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm good. When I watch the team and I see them struggle, over the last few months. The thing that stands out to me is when they stop moving their legs and they start trying long stretch passes and things of that nature, that's not the way they played late last year when they went through and won the Stanley Cup. They were always moving their feet. They were flying around with their legs, heavy on pucks, making it difficult, not giving the other team time and space. When you see those things happening, you know good things are about to happen. And if they do that, which they can all do, we have a good skating team, especially now with Hanifin. Mm-hmm. He's a phenomenal skater. He's going to remind some people of Theodore. I think you're going to see a lot of success in the last month. Detroit was a good start, but they got to do that every night. They got to come out, and they got to have their legs immediately in games, and that's what causes other teams to make mistakes when they're being pressured all the time. And when we were struggling, it was exactly the opposite. You could see we were getting beat with speed, and we were getting beat on pucks. We were easy to knock off of pucks, and I think that's the key. It sounds simple, but it's got to be a team effort. The entire unit has to be doing that.
What's your confidence level that they'll be able to do that?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good now, especially with Hanifin, because mm-hmm. if you watch some of our defensemen in the last couple months, they sometimes look like they're stuck. They're stuck in mud, and they don't get their legs going, which makes zone exits so difficult if you're just looking to make that long pass. And that long pass leads to those neutral zone turnovers. So I think if we see that, I think he's going to be huge. When I heard we got Hanifin, I couldn't believe it because I've watched him. And he has a lot of Theodore-like game to him. And it's not just the offense. He had 3 assists the other night. But it's how quickly he can get that outlet pass, not the long pass, that quick little pass to leave your own zone, which starts those rushes. And I think that's the key, and I'm pretty confident of it. And of course, with Manta, there's a big body there. I'm interested to see if he could add that physicality. I don't know if he's known to be a very really physical player, mm-hmm. but we can't be losing battles, puck battles in the corners constantly. And I think that's what's happened the last few months. And maybe we got to play with them a little more emotion. That would be maybe part of it too.
Yeah, you know, Rick, thanks for the call. You've given me a lot to chew on here. Number one, I agree with you on Noah Hanifin. Mainly, there's 3 opportunities or 3 options that Hanifin has when it comes to getting out of his own zone, right? He's such a smooth skater that he can skate pucks out of danger. If he's given the green light, and he has the opportunity and the option, he can skate the puck out of the zone. As you also mentioned, you pointed out so well, he can make that first read. He can make that initial short, small area type of pass to get the puck into the hands of your center iceman and out of the zone and through the neutral zone with speed. The other thing, though, and you talked about long stretch passes, Noah Hanifin can do that too. And he converts on a very high percentage of those longer stretch passes. It's not necessarily going to be the bread and butter all the time, but it's going to be an option. So when you can take some of that predictability out of your ability to exit the zone, all of a sudden you become harder for teams to game plan against. And I think that's what Noah Hanifin's going to bring to the table more than anything else. Okay, so from Hanifin, let's talk Manta. Couple of games to look at Anthony Manta. There are some really smart plays that he's making in the offensive zone. I think the more you pair him up with Chandler Stephenson, the more runway they get together as a pair, the more they're going to be able to find themselves in good spots offensively. On the physicality side of things, Manta has tried to throw his body around. He's a big man. He's not known for being overly physical, but I do think, to your point, the physicality I'm looking for isn't big bruising checks. What I'm looking for from Anthony Manta is simply win your battles along the wall. extend plays in the offensive zone, recycle pucks, be hard to play against in that regard, finish your checks, and make it difficult on the opposition. I think the more and more, again, that he plays with Chandler Stephenson, it's going to come for Anthony Manta. I look at the Golden Knights, and I think we're touching on a couple of things. We want to see more of a forecheck pressure from Vegas, a forecheck identity with the Vegas Golden Knights. And contrary to popular belief, the forecheck doesn't just start when you put the puck in the offensive zone. Most of the time, the forecheck starts when you go back and pick up a puck in your own zone. The decision to go D to D, the decision to go quick up along the wall, the decision to try for a stretch pass, all of those things factor into whether or not you're going to beat that first wave of pressure. All of those things factor into whether or not you're going to be able to put pucks behind the defense or you're going to be able to carry pucks in to the offensive zone with numbers. All of those things impact how you forecheck in a game. And I think when you look back at the Detroit game, you're going to see the Golden Knights disrupting a lot of breakout passes for the Red Wings. You're going to see the Golden Knights get in, apply that pressure, force Detroit into plays they don't want to make, and more often than not, it led to extended zone time. It led to better opportunities and better chances for the Golden Knights, especially in that first period. From a forechecking perspective, strictly speaking, that might have been the best period of hockey the Golden Knights had played in quite a while. They were excellent. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they didn't spend a ton of time in their own zone. So that's why Hanifin helps you there. You're hopeful that Manta can kind of settle in alongside Chandler Stephenson. And then the other news that I'm going to get to here today is that it's looking more and more like you're going to get Brett Howden back tomorrow. Will Carrier back on Thursday. And if you want to talk about identity players, if you want to talk about strong forechecking presence, if you want to talk about all of the things that we've touched on here, specifically Rick and moving your feet, I don't think there's two players that are better equipped to play to that identity than Brett Howden and William Carrier. Both of those guys, motor, they can skate, they can check. They are smart with their routes. They know how to cut off pressure points, and they know how to recycle pucks in the offensive zone. So if you're able to get those guys back, then all of a sudden you're going from a roster less than 2 weeks ago that featured Mason Morelli, Byron Fraze, Sheldon Rempel, and Brendan Brisson to a roster that has Brett Howden, William Carrier, Pavel Dorofeev. And then there's decisions to be made on NHL caliber players, on players that have spent their entire time this season up in the National Hockey League. That matters for the Golden Knights moving forward. So let's bring in Chris Chapman, because I threw the question out there. You are the voice of the fans on this show in particular.
That's what they say.
Well, I think you do a good job of that. I really do. What do you need to see over the final 18 games? Because, again, I think we all are in agreement, right? You come off of the Stanley Cup. You go 11-0-1 in your first 12 games. It just feels inevitable, right? It's Thanos. I'm inevitable. And then it's been tough for a while. Injuries, adversity, all of those things, they're true. Not excuses, but they are reasons as to why the Golden Knights are in a wild card spot right now. But there's still runway. There's still 18 games to work with. What do you need to see to get you back to where you were after the first 12 games?
Well, I want to see them get back to playing what I feel is Golden Knight hockey. And that's not just getting goals at opportune times from guys like Jonathan Marchessault and Jack Eichel, but that's depth scoring as well. And we saw a bit of that the other night, right? Pavel Dorofeev, first game back. What does he do? 8 minutes, 9 minutes in, bang.
What a cheeky shot, too.
Like, I don't know how you can watch Pavel Dorofeev and not love his game. But I want to see more than that.
You know who loves his game?
Bruce Cassidy.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So, like, I now that Brett Howden's coming back, I want to see Brett Howden chipping in goals. I want to see more goals from Michael Amadio. I want to see depth scoring. Nick Hague. I want to see Nick Hague get on the board, right? Like, I feel like he hasn't scored for a long time. I need to see a Hager bomb. Like, I want to see this team find their game with their depth scoring, because even early on, they were winning games and guys who weren't top six skaters were scoring goals for them. So I think that's one. The other thing I want to see is I want to see better play from the goaltenders. Like, I felt like Aiden, I'll say this, I thought Aiden played a really good game the other night. Hard to blame him for any of those goals that were given up. Like,
what about Vancouver?
What about?
Did he play well against Vancouver?
I thought there were moments he played a lot better than he had. Like, it seemed like he's starting to kind of get back on track.
I think he's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, like that's it. Like, but I want to see more. Okay. Like, I want to see more of what I saw in the last, because I thought, you know, after the first period against Vancouver, he seemed to find his game. Like I said, the Detroit game, hard to really blame him for any of those goals. Two deflections, really good deflections. Moritz Seider has a missile that he shoots from way outside. And both times you had Michael Rasmussen tip a goal, and then JT Compher, who got ragdolled by Marcia.
Listen, but at no point in time are you putting anything. Those goals on
and then
Hill.
The third, forget it. Like, well, I mean, that's just
that was a calamity of errors.
Yes,
right. It was Keegan Kolasar
colliding,
losing
with
an edge,
yeah.
Collides with Nick Waugh. Nick Waugh's down behind the play, trying to get off the ice. White Cloud blocks a shot, which is a great shot block,
yeah, and goes
except for the fact that it pops right into the slot for Shane Gostisbehere, and you're essentially defending a 5-on-2 at that point.
Yeah, all the places for that puck to go, and it's the worst place on the ice.
Sometimes you need to be lucky.
Yeah,
and in that instance, they weren't. But here's the best thing about it: they battled through it.
Yeah, yeah, and look, they dug deep.
Yep.
They give up twice. They gave up a tying goal, and they still find a way to win that game.
Yep.
That's Golden Knights hockey. The adversity comes hard and fast at you. They dig down deep. They get a huge play from Jonathan. I mean, two huge goals from Jonathan Marchessault. I mean, who else, right?
But monster game from him.
I mean, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Is he going to get to 44?
He might.
I think he does.
I mean, we're talking about 18 games.
18
right?
games. He needs what? Nine goals.
Nine goals in 18 games. Like, he's been that guy all season long.
He's going to get there.
I mean, listen, could Jonathan Marchessault score 45 goals this year? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would it shock me at all? No.
No.
No, because
He's that guy.
Well, he's that guy, but there's another aspect of it that I don't know that Jonathan gets enough credit for. He's an emotional leader.
Yes.
When Mark Stone is healthy and he's in the lineup, we know that Mark Stone is a rallier of men, right? Like, mm-hmm. He is that guy. He is that captain. He is vocal. He's forward-facing. He's emotional. He does all of the things that you need him to do. And then when that's gone, you need somebody else to kind of take up that mantle. And I said it on the show, on the post-game show yesterday. There's not a player in this organization beyond Jonathan Marchessault that cares more deeply about being a Vegas Golden Knight. Like, everybody loves to play here, right? Everybody in the league wishes that they could be Jonathan Marchessault or William Karlsson or Jack Eichel. Every player in the league wants to play for Vegas. Full stop. But I don't know that there's anyone that appreciates putting that sweater on, what it's meant to him, his family, his career, more than Jonathan Marchessault. And so when he has an opportunity to go out there and be that guy, he rarely lets his teammates down, his fans down, his city down. He's just that guy.
Well, and I think you touched on it, right? He puts that jersey on it. It means something more to
yeah,
Jonathan Marchessault.
Sure.
And I'm not saying it didn't mean a lot for him when he was in Florida or anywhere else that he stopped that it didn't mean, but it just seems to mean a little bit more here in Las Vegas for him than it maybe has for any other player that's put on that jersey here.
He's become a superstar here.
I've said it multiple times.
An all-star here.
Yeah.
A Stanley Cup champion here. A Conn Smythe winner here. All for a guy that was undrafted.
Yeah. When the day comes, and hopefully it's not for a while, but when he hangs it up, he's hanging it up, and it's going up in the rafters.
I want to touch on one text, and we're going to take a break, come back with Tomáš Hertl. Is it win? I'm going to go win on the name, on the text line. I need to see a few goals by Jack Eichel. Not necessarily every game. I think he's doing well, getting assists and being very defensive-minded, and I need to see some small uptick in power play goals. I think power play is going to come.
I think that's a fair tweet.
It looks so good against Detroit.
It
really did.
It looked like they were going to score.
Yeah. I know. And to your credit, you said, why not move Stevenson and Barbashev? Cassidy did do that.
Yeah. Maybe he listened to the show.
And it looked really good. So
I'm going to take credit for that one.
Stick taps to Chris Chapman by way of Bruce Cassidy doing something with the power play. I think power play goals are going to come.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of time for Jack Eichel. It's a timing thing more than anything else. I really believe that.
He did look good on Saturday.
To score in this league, when you have a shot as good as Jack's is, you can beat goalies clean, but there's got to be some deception. You have to have your timing. There needs to be no hesitation. I think it's coming. I really do. And to be fair, Jack does not have to score to be impactful, but I do think it opens things up if he's putting the puck in the back of the net too. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll hear from Darren Millard and Darren Elliott from Nighttime at Noon with newest Vegas Golden Knight. It still feels really weird to say. Tomas Hertl, that's coming up on the VGK Insider Show. Code word of the day, 7, like lucky number 7. Just the word 7. Don't send in the numeric 7. You won't be entered into the jackpot. 7, S-E-V-E-N, 7. That's the code word today for the Hit the Jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas. You could win $2,024 a day. And this is just something that we want to do for you. You have plenty of opportunities throughout the month of March to do it. Today's code word is 7. Text that into 702-876-1340 and you will be registered. Again, code word 7. We've also got another contest, I guess would be the best way to put it, Chapman. Coming your way, I'll give you more information on that in just a little bit. But earlier today, newest Vegas Golden Knight, Tomas Hertl, sat down on Nighttime at Noon with Darren Millard and Darren Elliott. Here is that conversation.
He just rolls in.
Right out of the gym.
And he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? The voice here in the background is Tomas Hertl, who just, you're right at home here, buddy.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Hey, what's it been like the last little bit meeting you were at the gala last night?
Working the back bar
the back bar. And now meeting everybody around the facility. What's the last 24 hours been like?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy because I was driving like 5 a.m., you know, from San Jose to down here. So get here, got through everything, and before I know it, I was in the gala, you know, and got into it, you know, pretty crazy, you know, a little different than I'm used to, but it was fun, you know, and all the people around here, guys, is super nice to me, you know. Even long time rivalry, you know.
I've heard you spent some time with Mark down there. He's sort of taken under your wing and just...
Talk other guys, Mark, you know, because we're not going on the road, so I have to probably longer time to talk to him, you know, to our captain, and, you know, I really enjoy it, you know, everybody was super nice, you know, all the guys, and I just enjoy it because it's for sure something for me, something new for me, you know, I was in one place for 11 years, but, you know, I just had, like, really about this.
Health, how are you feeling?
I feel good, yeah, you know, like, starting process rehab, hopefully, you know, I can be soon, you know, start skating and stuff. And I think everybody was, you know, all the trainers see me first time today, all happy with my progress. And now actually today is for 4 weeks after surgery. So just getting, you know, there's no limits to working out, just get back to strength and hopefully soon be on the ice.
I was surprised in the process, you don't have to tell any secrets, but, you know, for everybody, the whole league, like, we didn't even know you were available, really. So how surprising is it, A, that you moved, and B, that you moved here?
Yeah, it was a big shot, I think, for Hockey War. A lot of my friends could, I guess, still text, you know, because it's happened. Nobody knew anything, you know. And I knew there was something, you know, like 2 months ago, like, okay. They say, like, I jump Vegas, like, think about it, but, like, you know, like, there was always some
just
rumors,
general.
You know,
yeah.
General, yeah. And you know, and you know, that's why I figured out, you know, like, I was kind of, you know, still playing, you know, that doesn't think about it, anything can happen, maybe this actually trade line, I was maybe thinking, if anything, maybe, like, summertime, and you know, I was still graduating, and, like, I was just, like, you know, my agent called me, and they keep talking, you know, and if they find a way, like, you have to maybe your move, you know, your
no move
clause,
yeah.
You know, and eventually happened on Friday exactly, you know, close to the, like, deadline, and you know, it was pretty crazy because, like you just say, you know, you got always players, they know they will get traded or talk about it, but I come from nowhere. And you know, for sure, when first time I heard it, you know, you think about it, you know, because I was in one place 11 years, you know, you love there, you got friends around it, everything, but, you know, that's same time I'm looking to win something, you know, I want to achieve something. And, you know, last couple of years was pretty tough, you know, when you're not winning many games, you're not even close to the playoffs, and you know, when I just think of it, like, for a little bit, I just like, yeah, I want to do it, you know, I just, this is a great team, you know, and when I look at the players, just built for the playoffs, and if it works out, there will be no really hesitate for me, you know, wave the move clause, because, you know, this team can do again, and not just this year, you know, they have, I think for a couple, at least a couple of years, I know they will want to try to go every year, but like there is not like you just going and maybe go again somewhere, you know, like this team is built to just do really good things every year.
You had the surgery in February 12th, I think, and talked about wanting to come back again this year. It kind of caught me by surprise because San Jose wasn't in it. Did you know that this was a possibility and that's why you had the surgery then, or was it just fortuitous that it worked out that way?
No, I didn't know it was actually possible. Maybe
because great luck.
We kind of waited a little bit. I could probably get right away. We kind of waited because figure out because, you know, San Jose, we wasn't really hurried to anywhere because, you know, there wasn't playoff, anything like that. So they just want to take time. So if I probably knew it, I could probably do even like a little sooner and just like get straight and think about it. Where is the next game, you know, just get right to it. But I didn't know it was, especially before the surgery, like, I think that nothing will happen like that.
You teammate of Aiden's, so you know him. What's he told you about this city, this facility, this organization?
Yeah, you know, like I kind of talk everybody just a little bit, you know, because first lot of guys I saw during the gala, you know, and today I saw more trainers than guys because they want to see me everything. So, but I'm pretty close. You know, like I played with Joel Ward, you know, for a couple of years, you know, and we got to the run, so. I knew it from him before because we saw actually this year on betting summer, and so just heard like great things, you know, and like how the fans, how the living around here, and just, you know, team is locking, you know, to win it again, and that's what's just getting me really excited about it.
The rivalry, it was real, right? San Jose and Vegas.
Yeah, like
you were a big part of it.
Of course, yeah. Like for like. Everybody's saying that I really, you know, last 2-3 years is kind of away because, you know, the San Jose team is now. But first 4 years, it was actually so much fun. It was like, I was like looking forward to every single game against Vegas because the rivalry, the fans, you know, just like the attention, you know, the crazy games, you know, playoff rounds. It was, I think that time was the best rivalry. And every time I, you know, get here, I want to just like, oh, I need to score, you know, I want to score this, like, I want to beat them, you know. So the rivalry was real, you know, like, for a while, and was a lot of fun. Every time I enjoy this game because that's the best, you know, when it's the game competitive, everybody won it, win, you know, it's special, and it was fun time.
What's Bruce said to you in your conversations with him about plans and I don't know whether he gets into specifics about combinations or not?
No, we just like kind of more say hi to. He was just kind of want to know same thing when I be back, Anna, and just get ready. But we don't, it's kind of, you know, was everything quick. I saw him first time during the gala again, you know, so I saw everybody during the gala first time, which was pretty crazy. A lot of things was going on, but we didn't have conversation. Well, you know, what is the plan? What do you think about me to put it? But, you know, main goal is just me get healthy and back on the ice.
So what was the gala like for you?
Vegas.
Very Vegas?
Yeah, like, welcome to Vegas. Yeah, you get down, your lights, you know, kind of, just like, you know, it's not the first time for me, Vegas, you know, because we've been in the same division for a while, so, you know, lights, everything, people, loud music, just what you're expecting from Vegas, so it was pretty cool.
What was the best drink that you made, because you guys were bartending?
I did, like, some special Moscow Mule, I can't remember, but... I need bartender. If it didn't help, she didn't help me, I would have not know what to do. Like if you do like vodka soda, it's, you know, pretty simple. But if you have to mix something special, it's actually pretty hard because especially like when people come and they ask for 3 drinks and you have to remember all of them. I was like, hey, wait a second. So get slow here. No, but it was fun, you know, and all the guys seems like they're having a great time, you know, and just, you know, enjoy to each other and make jokes around, which I laugh.
You would have had two lineups, one the fans and the other one with your teammates, yeah. Like all trying to meet you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like I met actually at noon a couple of guys here, but some guys I was like, hey, this is, you know, Jack, you know, here, hey, what's up? You know, but there was a fan coming, so it was just pretty quickly everything, but, you know, it's in hockey where you get used to it pretty quickly.
When you take a look at getting on the ice, what are you most excited about joining this lineup?
Just, you know, the team overall, like, there is, like, nothing, you know, they have four lines, defenseman, goalie, and I was just actually surprised. You know, you always play, but I just say this team is built for a playoff because when I was now in San Jose, I was like right. The tallest guy, and now come and like everybody like same height me or even taller. Like this, I think what is like really matters, especially in the big games and playoff. And you know, if you look always the teams, they last time a lot of times it's just the big guys and in the moments and right. The strength and that's just what this team has it. You know, and there's even a lot of skill and. You know, and I just looking forward to it because, you know, last couple of years wasn't, you know, easy being on the side when you're losing. And this is just, even, I know there was a little struggle last couple of games, but, you know, the guys will figure out because they're such a good players to be back. And you know, this, really looking forward to it because there's a lot of talent and a lot of skill and just seems like great guys too.
That was Tomáš Hertl, the most recent Vegas Golden Knight to be acquired by Kelly McCrimmon at the trade deadline. I got a chance to talk to Hertl a little bit later after Mallard and Elliott, and he was great, Chapman. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun covering Hertl, talking about the rivalry of years gone by between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. But I think the one thing that's pretty prevalent, just based on his conversation there, is that he's incredibly excited to be a Vegas Golden Knight. He's incredibly excited to be in the playoff hunt once again, to get back to the playoffs. And you know, when you're a player at this stage of your career, you want a chance to win. And I think for Hertl, it became a no-brainer decision when you have the opportunity to go somewhere that is trying actively right now to win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the other day, the Sharks many, many years away from being a competitive, at least in terms of competing for a Stanley Cup caliber team. Mm-hmm. Hertl got a taste of that early in his career with San Jose when they were a really good team. He went to a cup final with the Sharks, but, you know, nonetheless, He's got another opportunity, right? It's almost like a rejuvenation of your career to be able to go from a cellar dweller to a team that has every interest in repeating as a Stanley Cup champ. So, gotta be very exciting for him, and by all accounts, a great, great human being. Yeah. So I think he'll fit in good with a lot of the other really good guys that are in this organization, and. You know, awesome to listen to him. And you could hear his smile through the interview, which is incredible.
Yeah, and there you guys go. A little Darren Millard fix for you on a Monday afternoon. We're going to take a break, come back, and set up hour number two of the VGK Insider Show. We're rolling along here on a Monday. VGK Insider Show. There's something about being Vegas born, and that's one of the things that makes the Vegas Golden Knights so special. We want to share something you made special in Vegas, or at least something born in Vegas, for your chance to win tickets and a VGK onesie thanks to the Valley Health System. So if you have a Vegas-born baby, go check out lvsportsnetwork.com for more information. If you have a Vegas-born baby, you could win not only tickets, but a Vegas onesie. Again, thanks to the Valley Health System. Go to lvsportsnetwork.com for more information. Chapman, you're not Vegas born.
No, New Jersey born.
So you're ineligible.
Ah, bummer.
I know.
My son's Vegas born.
There you go.
I don't think onesies fit him anymore, though.
Probably not. Hour number two, VGK Insider Show, rolling along here on a Monday.